eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me just offer my prayers to Srila Prabhupada. Om Abhinata Nagandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and I didn't know anything about Lord Vamanadeva or Krishna or anybody transcendental, but my spiritual master very kindly forced opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to him and to all of you. Hare Krishna. So this wonderful story of Vamanadeva, if I don't say it now. There's one other announcement that I was asked to tell, that there'll be bhajans tomorrow night in... can you just say it again? Premananda Gaur. Premananda Gaur. That's a sign. That's one of the gray hair signs. Premananda Gaur Prabhu's house, there'll be bhajans tomorrow night in honor of Bhakti Nirodh Thakur. Hare Krishna. Okay, so... Vamanadeva's story is told in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many of us know how he appeared, but why he appeared, that's the very interesting part also. So the story spans over eight chapters, this story of Lord Vamanadeva's appearance, and it starts way back in time. Okay, so we're going way back in time. Way back in time, millions and millions and millions and uncalculably millions of years ago. That was a really long time ago. When Mohini Murti, when the Lord incarnated as this beautiful woman, and he bewildered the demons and the demigods, he bewildered them all. So they were churning the ocean of milk. They got the nectar from the ocean of milk. And then after that, because there's always two different types of personalities in the world, always. Those that believe in God, those that don't have any faith in God, the atheists and the devotees, or sometimes we say the asuras and the suras, or sometimes we say the demons and the atheists. So anyway, after this churning of the ocean of milk and the nectar was produced and the demigods got the nectar, the demons were very upset. So they had a fight with the demigods. They happen to have that fighting nature. So they're always in disagreement. They always want things for themselves. So during that fight, Bali Maharaj was killed. Did you know that? He was killed in that fight with the demons and the demigods at that time. He was killed. But by the power of Sukracharya, Sukracharya brought him back to life. And not only him, but he brought back all the other demons that were killed that didn't have their heads and arms chopped off. So if their body was whole, by the power of Sukracharya's mantras, he brought them back to life. And when Bali Maharaj regained his life, he could understand this personality is very, very powerful. Let me become his disciple. So he became the disciple of Sukracharya and expressed to him at that time that he wanted to conquer the heavenly planets. He wanted to take over King Indra's position. So Sukracharya and the other Brahmins at the time, they performed a special yajna called Vishvajit yajna. And out of that yajna came a chariot, a golden chariot, yellow horses, a quiver, two quivers of very powerful arrows, transcendental armor came out, and other things came out from that fire jigger. So Bali Maharaj, and a flag. A flag was manifest with the symbol of a lion on it. So Bali Maharaj, from that, he got the chariot, he got armor, he got arrows and quivers and so many things. He was fully equipped to conquer the heavenly kingdom. He was very powerful. And Prahlad Maharaj came and gave him a garland. And this garland was very special because it never faded. So it's a garland of victory that never fades. So he gave him the garland. He was well equipped, and he went on, and he went right up to the heavenly kingdom. And in spite of it being well protected by the demigods and so opulent and so beautiful, and as soon as he came with all of his soldiers and the demigods, just looking at them, they could understand these people are invincible. They could just by seeing their demeanor, these people will never be able to defeat them. So Indra went to his spiritual master, who was Brihaspati, and he said, how is it that they've become so strong? We've defeated them in the past many times. How have they become so strong? And Brihaspati said, they've become strong because they've pleased their spiritual master. Now, here's an interesting lesson. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport there that the potency of the spiritual master, by pleasing the spiritual master, yasya prasad bhagava prasada, he's more potent, he's more transcendentally potent, more powerful than ourselves. If we please him, then that mercy that he bestows on his disciple, that will give us the strength to conquer all different tests in our life. Sometimes, actually, in this day and age, the mood is by your own ability. How much you apply yourself, that much you'll get. How much you apply yourself to your studies, how much you apply yourself to your business, how much you endeavor, you'll reap the results of that. But in the Vedic culture, they didn't have that understanding. Because their understanding in God, their understanding that everything depends on the mercy of personalities that are more powerful than you. There's a person in charge of everything. There's a person in charge of the rain. There's a person in charge of the sun. There's a person in charge of every aspect of our lives. There's a person behind it. And by pleasing those personalities, then we get their mercy, we'll get their ability, we'll get extra aid, we'll get some help to make progress in our lives. So we need to have transcendental goals in our life. Not that we want to make material progress in our life. That might be there. That might be a necessity, but not our primary goal, okay? Our primary goal in life is to make spiritual progress. And by rendering service to the pure devotees, that progress, that path is opened up for us. That special path is opened up for us. So by the mercy of... So Brihaspati advised the demigods, better you just get out of Dodge, as they say. Remember Dodge? Okay, no. Okay, get out of town. Better that you just get out of town. There, you're never going to be able to defeat them by your physical strength. Get out of town and wait till the time is appropriate. So that's what the demigods did. They all left in disguise. Some of them disguised themselves as peacocks. Some of them disguised themselves as other personalities, and they got out without the demons seeing them, and they didn't even fight them. Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly kingdom and took over the whole universe. He took over everything, and he was arranging for all the different aspects of the world to go on. Meanwhile, Bali Maharaj's mother, remember her name? Anybody? I know you know his name. Sorry, her name. Anyway, yes. So the mother of Bali Maharaj was Aditi. She was the wife of Kasyapa Muni. And Kasyapa Muni and her, they were progenitors. They were... through their union, many, 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 many personalities took born, and they were all very godly. The demigods all took birth from Kasyapa and Aditi. Kasyapa also, he had many wives. He had another wife named Diti. So there's Aditi and Diti. Diti gave birth to many demons. So anyway, Bali Maharaj's mother was very sad. She was sad that her son had to leave his home And so she approached her husband and prayed, what can I do to help him? And so Kasyapa Muni gave her the instruction that you perform this special yajna, this payavrata yajna. And if you can perform this payavrata yajna to please Lord Vishnu, he can help. So she did that. It was a 12-day vrat where she subsisted only on milk and did many other acts of devotional service. And at the end of those 12 days, the Lord was actually very pleased with her, and he appeared before Kasyapa Muni and Aditi and promised to become their son. And so, in due course of time, Lord Vamana appeared. The Lord appeared. And as he appeared in the universe, you can well imagine, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead's appearance is quite a joyful thing. Just like, remember when Krishna appeared, how all the fires of the brahmanas burned brightly and the atmosphere was very pleasing and everybody was very happy. So similarly, when Lord Vamana appeared, everything in the universal situation was very pleasing. And the demigods were offering prayers. But interestingly enough, did you know that when Lord Vamana appeared, he appeared similar, like in his appearances of Krishna? He first appeared as Lord Vishnu, with four hands and a dark complexion, holding a conch, club, disc, and lotus. And he was smiling at everybody and saying, yes, I'm here. And they're offering their prayers. Jai, jai. They were totally astonished, offering their prayers. And then he changed. He changed into a little dwarf brahmachari, a Brahmin brahmachari. And he was so, one of the qualities of Lord Vamana is that he was so beautiful. Everybody was attracted just by his beauty. Have you noticed sometimes when the babies are there or the little kids are there when they're, you know, in that stage of life and they're just so cute. Everybody, especially on the lady side, they just want to go over and pinch him or hug him or hold him or whatever. So Lord Vamanadev, millions and millions more times more beautiful than that. But still, he was so attractive. Everybody was just amazed by his beauty. So when he appeared, as in the Vedic culture, there's the birth ceremony, and then gradually there's the other Garbhadan samskaras that are offered. But when Lord Vamana appeared, they did the birth ceremony, and they did the sacred thread ceremony right at the same time, right after that. And so one of the demigods, I think it was the sun god, gave him the Gayatri Mantra. The sun god gave him the Gayatri Mantra. Brihaspati gave him the sacred thread. And different demigods, according to their activities, they gave him different gifts. So Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and he wore that. And his mother, what do you think his mother could give him? As a mother, you'll just smile when you hear this. His mother gave him cloth for underwear. Isn't that sweet? So it's So many people gave him all different gifts to celebrate his appearance. And so then he immediately, as now a duly initiated Brahmin, he set a fire and did a fire yajna and did all sorts of brahminical things. And then he got news that Bali Maharaj was performing a sacrifice. Now, so if you remember, when Bali Maharaj expressed his desire to Sukracharya, that he wanted to conquer the heavenly planets, then Sukracharya performed with the help of the Brahmins a sacrifice to enable him, to give him the potency, the special potency that he'd be able to do that. So then, after he was there, installed as the king in place of King Indra, Sukracharya recommended that he perform 100 Ashwamedha yajnas because he needed to keep the qualifications to stay there. He couldn't just, he just had to keep, you know, feeding that fire of qualification. So anyway, at this particular point, Bali Maharaj was performing a jugga, and he was, and Lord Vamana decided to go there. And the reason, now here's the thing, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that he comes, yada yadahi dharmasya, he comes every time there's a decline in religious principles and an increase of irreligion, he comes and he advents himself. But he also says there in that fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that anyone who can understand the mysterious activities of the birth and appearance of the Lord, they become transcendental. They don't have to take birth again. So back when the Lord, back when Aditi was asking the Lord to come and help reinstate her son as the king of heaven, King Indra, give him back his kingdom, the Lord said to Aditi at that time, he said, you know, said, you can't conquer Bali Maharaj at this time by physical strength. It's not possible. So he said, I'm going to have to think of a different means to do it. I'm going to have to devise a different plan to do it. So now, here he comes, he's advented himself, he's heard about Bali Maharaj's sacrifice. So this is part of his plan. This form of Vamana Rupa, this small, you could say, insignificant looking child. What's to fear from a 3 foot high young personality? That's 3 foot high in our terms. We don't really know. But anyway, you know, just nothing to fear from that person. So he was very unassuming. So when he goes into the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is immediately attracted to him by his beauty. Immediately. And immediately in his heart, he wants to give everything to this person. So you could say, for no apparent reason, you could say, but he's feeling that immediately. He sees him, and he wants to give him everything. And so there's a special quality of the Lord called, and I want you to remember this. You ready? Bhava Grahi Janardana. Bhava Grahi Janardana. That's a name for the Lord who understands the intent that's in your heart. Sometimes we might be doing something, we have an intention that we want to give our love to Krishna. Krishna hears that. How does he hear it? He's right there in our heart as the super soul. So he's hearing all our desires. He hears when you want to go to Disney World. He hears this and he hears that. But he also hears when you say, I want, just like Bhaktin Dora. He heard her. He, remember the letter that Jivanath was reading, Bhaktin Dora, I want to become a devotee and help Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna hears that. So we should actually keep track of Bhaktin Dora and see how this letter was written a few years ago. We should check in and see where she is now. But anyway, so what's the term of Krishna who hears what's in your heart? Bhava Grahi Janard. Good. So I want you to remember that during the day, okay? Krishna hears that in your heart. He hears that and he reciprocates with that. So he immediately had a relationship with Bali Maharaj right then and there. Nothing had happened yet, supposedly. Interestingly enough, there were other people at that sacrifice, and they also saw Bali Vamanadev. And one of the persons that was there was Bali Maharaj's daughter named Ratnavali. So Ratnavali, when she saw that Lord come in, she was immediately attracted too. And she said, if I had a son like him, I would give him my breast milk to drink. I'd be so happy. That's a mother. She's always trying to nurture her kids. But then, and the Lord heard that. And he made a reciprocation with her through the heart, because he has no impediments. He can hear what's in everyone's heart. He heard what was her, and he said in his heart to her heart, he said, let your desire be fulfilled. But she had a different experience. By the time the sacrifice was over, and we'll get to that hopefully really quickly, but anyway, by the time the sacrifice was over and Vamanadeva had arrested Bali Maharaj, etc., etc., she became angry. And she said, if I had a son like that, I'd kill him. And you know what happened to her? In the Dwapara Yuga, she took birth as Putana. How do you like that? Putana. So she offered her breast milk to Krishna. And then she was killed by... She tried to kill Krishna, but that's not possible, right? But Krishna killing her, was that bad? It wasn't bad. It was glorious for her in the end. It might appeared bad in the while it was happening. Oh, he killed her. But he didn't kill her. He awarded her the position of a mother. Because that's what happened to Putana after she was killed by Krishna. She was liberated, cleansed of all her sinful reaction. Having come in contact with Krishna, she was purified. And she was awarded the position of a mother. So that part of the story is... spoken in the Garga Samhita. It's not in the Bhagavatam. That's a little interesting part. So anyway, here we are. Bali Maharaj is coming into the sacrifice. No, Vamanadeva is coming into the sacrifice. Bali Maharaj is immediately attracted and he wants to give him everything, but he can't because of the circumstance. You know, the Sukracharya is there, the demons are there, he has his position, blah, 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 so many things. He can't do it right away. So But Bali speaks to Vamana and says, my dear beautiful boy, my dear beautiful Brahmin boy, it appears that you've come here to beg something from me. So if you have, please ask, because I can give you anything. I who possess everything, I'm the owner of all the three planetary systems. I'm the controller. I'm very powerful and opulent. I am in charge of everything, and I can give you whatever you want. And so Vamana said, very interestingly, Vamana said, oh, I don't want very much. I don't, because I just need a little bit. Because anybody who's not satisfied with a little bit will never be satisfied, even if they get the whole world. And even if I got the whole world, the whole dwipa, the whole island, even if I got a whole planet, I'd want another one. Have you ever noticed that? You get either something that you want and you really want it and you get it, and it's nice for a little while. And then it gets a little boring and it gets put on the side. Anyway, so Vamanadeva, he gives Bali that instruction, but he gives it to him. He says, I won't be satisfied if I have too much. I'll only be satisfied with a little. So, but what he's doing there is he's subtly means it's not very direct, but he's subtly poking Bali Maharaj, saying, you have too much. You have more than you need. You have more than your quota. Can you think of a verse? Well, there's a verse in Shishupanishad that explains about quota. Ishavasham idam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat yena taktena bujintaha magrida kasya svidanam. Everything animate or inanimate that's within the world, who's it owned by? Owned by the Lord. And if we remember that, it's not mine, it's not this, I don't need, everything animate, inanimate that's within the world is owned and controlled by the Lord, and one should therefore just take what's his quota and not what's someone else's, not strive unnecessarily, waste your energy for other things. Just be satisfied with what you can get. So that's what he's telling Bali Maharaj in an indirect way. Because sometimes if you tell somebody something indirectly, it's a little easier to take. I say, you got too much. That's a little hard to take. But he said, no, I have to be satisfied with less. And then I think, maybe I should do that too. So anyway, there's some discussion back and forth. And Vamana finally reveals what he wants. And you all know that he only wants three little steps of land. He's just a little short brahmachari. What could be the problem? Sukracharya sees a problem, though. Sukracharya is the spiritual master of the demons, and he sees a problem. He says, no, this is Vishnu. Don't give him anything. Don't give him anything, because if you give him one little thing, you know what he's going to do? Take everything, and you're going to be without anything. And it's not good to give everything, because you still have to maintain yourself. So how can you give everything? You have to keep enough so that you can maintain yourself. And me too, because I'm your spiritual master, and you need to maintain me. Yeah, so don't give everything. Just give him something, or just say, I can't do it right now, or I gave it the office, or think of something. And besides that, you didn't say om. You didn't promise with an om. Om makes it binding. But Pali Maharaj said, how can I do that? How can I do that? He said listen to what he said. He said something he said many things very interesting, but at this point he said, everything's going to be taken away from you at the time. Everything's going to be taken away from me at the time of my death. So here the Supreme Lord has come to ask me for something. Isn't it better that I give it to him voluntarily and be happy in that giving, as to have it ripped out from me, ripped apart from me, ripped away from me at the time of death, in the form of death? So he said, I'd rather give it voluntarily. And besides that, he said, I'm the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj's father was Virochana. Virochana's father was Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's father was Hiranyakashipu. Right? So that's the line that he comes in. That's the family. So Hiranyakashipu, the great atheist, he killed tortured Prahlad because of Prahlad's faith in God. Prahlad had so much faith in God that the Lord appeared as Lord Nrisimhadev to protect him. So Prahlad Maharaj gave Bali Maharaj, his grandson, he has a natural attraction. He has an attraction for everyone, but there's a natural attraction for one's family member. So he gave Bali Maharaj a special Kripa, mercy. Mercy. He gave him mercy. So Bali Maharaj, even though he was acting like a demon superficially on the outside, on the inside, he was a great devotee. He was a great, great devotee. And this is another reason why Lord Vamana appeared in this way. Sometimes if you look at the appearance of the Lord, or you look at the circumstance, you might just see the superficial, the external reasons why the Lord comes, and you might think, he was really mean to Bali. He cheated him. But actually, his real purpose, he did trick him a little bit. But Bali Maharaj was fine with that, because he realized who he was dealing with. And if that's what the Lord wants, he didn't mind. Krishna, in Nectar of Devotion, the beginning of Nectar Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he glorifies Krishna as Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the enjoyer of all relationships. So you have a friendly relationship, you have a relationship with your friends, those are nice. Some of your friends are jokers, and you have a nice joking relationship. Some, you have a relationship with your sister, your mother. There's so many relationships. And when you grow up, there might be a husband or a wife relationship. So many different relationships. And Krishna, he loves to enjoy the taste of all of them. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, in one of the purports there, I said that the Lord wanted to enjoy a joke, a little humor with his devotee. So he comes as Vamanadev to trick him, because he wants to enjoy, give him a good trick. There's a pleasure when you, okay, we won't get into tricking people too much, but anyway, there's taste. He wants to enjoy everything. He is the supreme enjoyer. So why can't he do that, right? So Bali Maharaj, he wasn't resentful. So where are we? We're at... he wanted to give it freely. Thank you. Thanks. He wanted to give it freely. So he, in Bali, at that particular point, turns away from the instructions of his so-called spiritual master. And he turns to the instructions that Prahlad Maharaj had given him. So Bali Maharaj is known, he's Kripa, he's gotten the Kripa from Prahlad Maharaj. He's become Kripa Siddha, he becomes perfect because of that. Because Prahlad Maharaj had given him the seed of that pure devotion. And when the time was right, it matured. And here was the mature time. And the fruit, pure love of Vishnu or Krishna, blossomed. And so he could understand that the previous instructions of Sukracharya now didn't apply. He wanted pure devotion. So he wanted to give it freely. So he did. He said, yes, whatever you want. And his good wife Vidyavali came with a golden water pot and washed Vamanadeva's feet, and everything was secured, and the promise was given, and Vamanadeva was all set to take his three little teeny weeny paces of land. But he decided, I think I'll get a little bit bigger so that I can get a little bit more. But his point was, so he did. He expanded himself to the outer limits of the universe. He expanded his whole body to the upper planetary system, and his arms encompassed all the directions, and his head covered the upper planets, and he was gigantic, to say the least, right? Even we don't have words to describe how big he became. And with one step, he covered all the upper planetary system. And with the other step, he covered everything below. But there's supposed to be three steps. But he covered everything just in two steps. So what does that make Bali? Where does he leave him? It leaves him not being able to fulfill his promise. The Lord said to him, my dear Bali, I've covered everything in two steps, but you've promised me three steps. Where am I going to put my third step? Bali's thinking really hard. He's thinking, well, I used to own everything. I used to be the lord of everything. Now I don't have anything left but my body. This is mine. This is me. I own this. So I'm going to give him my head. So although that might seem logical, there's a theistic flaw in that. If someone's a devotee, and if someone really understands everything belongs to the Lord, guess what that means? It means everything. That even means my body belongs to the Lord. So we have these mental impressions. We have these mental conceptions. I'm from this family. I'm a young girl, I'm an old lady, I'm a this, I'm a that, this is mine, this is my hand, this is the rest of my hand, what's left of it. You know, this is so many things. This is me. Guess what? It's not me. It's not me. I'm a spirit soul, and I belong to Krishna. Nothing is mine, and nothing is yours either. Nothing is mine. So he still, although he was a greatly advanced personality, he still had some subtle misconceptions. And that's why Krishna came. Because Krishna, not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. Because he wanted to relate with his devotee and purify him of all his misconceptions and bring him to a higher level. So his good wife, Vidyavali, she could understand. Now, at this particular point in time, after he'd taken the two steps of land and couldn't place his foot, his third step anywhere, he was arrested by Garuda with the ropes of Varuna, the Pasu Astras, the ropes of Varuna. He was arrested. And so he was there bound up and totally ashamed of not being able to fulfill his promise. But different personalities came to the Lord and offered their prayers, and Lord Brahma was about to speak and offer his prayers, and all of a sudden Vidyavali runs in and says, excuse me. Actually, she didn't even say excuse me. She just offers her prayers. This person, just see how foolish he is, because he still considers his head his when it's not even his. So please forgive him. And please give him your mercy. It's not a, in one sense, it's not a very big thing, but it's a subtle impediment that keeps one from realizing Krishna's potency and all, and Krishna's, and our relationship with him. And every single contamination that we have has to, all those misconceptions have to become purified from our heart. And that's Krishna very kindly doing that. And that's what he's doing for Bali Maharaj. And so even it was a very embarrassing circumstance for Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj stayed fixed in his determination and fixed in his tolerance and fixed in his peacefulness. He was very peaceful, although he was also embarrassed and so many other things, but he was peaceful. He said, I'm doing the right thing. Nothing bad is going to happen to me for surrendering fully to Vishnu. And and that's exactly what came about. Because this whole story of Vamanadeva, when you think of the appearance of Vamanadeva, the whole 8 chapters describing the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva practically talk about Bali Maharaj, the Lord's devotee, and his exalted position. And that's what the Lord likes to do. He likes to show the glorious qualities of his devotees. And so he does that in different ways, and he makes different arrangements to show and glorify the exaltedness of a devotee. And so the Lord said he still wasn't finished with Bali Maharaj. Even he wrapped him up in the ropes of Varuna and everything and this and that. He wasn't finished with him. He said, now, because you couldn't fulfill your promise, you have to go down to hell. You think, hey, why did he do that? He was being like a devotee. But actually, he said, and I'll be with you also. I'll go with you also. So it might, again, if you look at it superficially on the surface, you might think that Bali Maharaj got a raw deal. But he didn't get a raw deal. He got the association of the Supreme Lord in Sutala, the Sutala planets, the subterranean heavenly planets, which we don't hear about so much, but actually the subterranean heavenly planets are even more opulent than the higher planetary systems. That's the Lord's arrangement. I have no explanation. The subterranean heaven planets were even more opulent. So the Lord had Bali Maharaj go there and rule the demons uninterrupted without any problem with him there as the gatekeeper. Anybody who would come to bother Bali Maharaj would have to first go through the gatekeeper of Vamanadeva. And one time, this is a little aside, we're almost finished. Okay, I'm right. And one time, Ravana came to conquer Bali Maharaj's kingdom. And guess what? He met with Vamanadeva, and Vamanadeva said, "Bing, you're out of here." He kicked him away. He couldn't make a dent. So this is the very important aspect of Lord Vamanadeva's appearance, that he's here, that he's come to glorify his devotees. So what's the quality of the Lord that you're going to remember for today? And what does it mean? He understands what's in the heart. So take the opportunity and offer your prayers to Lord Vamanadeva today. He's very receptive to hearing them. And offer those heartfelt prayers and pray for pure devotion, because he'll reciprocate with you all very nicely. Thanks for your extended attention. Sorry to drag on so long. Hare Krishna. Yay, you get to go to class now. Hare Krishna.